Hi, this is Rachel from the Never Ending Sleepover. If you want to keep up with us or view the content that is connected to each episode, you can head over to Instagram and follow us at never_ending_sleepover_podcast. We know the name is pretty long, but everything else is taken. And if you're interested in donating directly to the podcast to help with fees and distribution, or to help us invest in the tools that will bring our podcast to the next level, you can join us on buymeacoffee.com/NESPOD. Next time you need to go shopping but can't make it to the store, head over to Instacart using our link provided in the episode notes and also in our Instagram bio. Using our link will let Instacart know that we sent you, and you'll receive free delivery on your first order of $35 and up. Welcome back to the Never Ending Sleepover. It's Rachel.
And David. And we're never sleeping.
No, never sleeping. Except for all day. I slept all day. Life is still pretty boring. I don't have much to say. No big things of the week, honestly. Yeah. It's Easter today. We're recording.
Well, not anymore, technically.
Oh, yeah. I guess
Easter's it was over. It was Easter today. Or on yesterday. Whatever. It's middle of the night now, so it doesn't matter. But it was Easter. We didn't do anything.
Nope.
What are we talking about today?
Okay, I wanted to tell you about freaking Dr. Death.
Dr. Death?
Yeah. Do you know Dr. Death? Do you know Dr. Death?
Know of. Don't know. No.
What do you know
about Nothing. Dr. Death? I actually don't know of Dr. Death. I mean, the name rings a bell, obviously.
Maybe. You know what's so funny? I just realized all the research I did, and I don't know his actual name. I never wrote down what his actual name is. Let me look it up.
Heard. Yeah, I don't actually know of Dr. Death.
His name was Christopher Duntsch. Duntsch?
I'm gonna see. I'm assuming he was a surgeon of some sort during a period when medical practices were just not up to par, and he was doing something extra fucked up. I just don't know what it is.
You're gonna love this.
Oh no.
It's all of that, except it's present day.
Oh, it's really?
Are you scared? You should be.
Interesting. Not EpiPen, but...
Martin Tricrelli?
Oh, yeah, no, it's
not. No, he's a pharmacist guy.
Right. Okay, never mind.
So, Chrissy, C-boy, failed at having a football career. So he decided to complete his undergraduate degree in 1995, and go to a dual doctorate program. So he decided to go for medicine and philosophy.
Okay.
And he did, and he finished, and he did a neurosurgery and a spine residency in 2010. And to graduate your residency, you normally would have participated in around 1,000 surgeries, more likely over 1,000 surgeries.
Right.
He somehow managed to do less than 100 and still... pass, I don't know. But in his fourth year of the residency, they suspected that he was operating on patients under the influence of cocaine. So they sent him to a program for impaired physicians, which scares me that there's one of those.
Right. Like, wouldn't you just fire them and make sure that they can't do this
anymore? And if it happened that often that there's a program for it? And there's, like, an easy method. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, let's just send him to the impaired physicians program. Like, they've got a whole flow set up. And so he was there for a few months and then returned to his residency. He passed, I guess, somehow. And he began working in hospitals, and that's when it really kind of begins. So.
Wait, okay. So he was just, like. Did he know that they were on cocaine? Was he just too stupid to tell that they were on cocaine?
No, he was...
Or he was giving them cocaine.
He was operating under the influence of cocaine.
Oh, he was coked out?
Like, he was, like, snorting a line and then operating on people's spines.
Shouldn't you just go to jail for that then?
I would say yes, but it, not up to me, unfortunately.
All right. Well, bad start.
Yeah, it is a bad start. So the biggest hospital, really. Wait,
It's just, it all makes sense that he would, you know, start in football and then he sucks so bad at that, that he was like, I'm going to try to do something harder. Somehow, it makes sense that he just sucked doing that, but he just cheated his way through it. That's just.
Yeah. Well on coke.
Right.
So, the big hospital that's involved, and this is the one that's, we'll get to it. So, it's called Baylor Plano Hospital, Baylor Plano. And so, there's a lot, and I'm just pretty much going to read straight off of Wikipedia, because they put together just the cases and bullet points in a very digestible way. So let's talk a little bit about what he did. So, the first patient that he operated on was left with chronic pain because he... What's his last name? How do you say it? Dunch?
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm going to look up how to say it so I don't say it wrong the whole time.
Christopher Dunch.
Dunch? So, Dunch?
Dunch, yeah.
Dr. Death operated on this guy, and he was left with chronic pain because he operated on the wrong part of his back. Due to the debilitating pain, he then had a second operation by the same doctor, by Dr. Death, to relieve the pain from the first one, and it left him mostly paralyzed in his legs, and it required months of rehabilitation, and when he was able to walk again, it was just with a cane, and he really couldn't stand up for very long in general.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been fired yet?
No. No.
Not at this point.
Yeah. And then this other guy, Lee Passmore, he experienced chronic pain and limited mobility after Dr. Death cut a ligament, which was not normally touched during that particular procedure, misplaced hardware in his spine, placed a screw which kept the hardware in place in an incorrect location in his spine, and stripped the threads so it could not be removed. Even if he had not stripped the threads, he placed the screw in a location that would have caused Passmore to bleed out if it had been removed. Vascular surgeon Mark Hoyle, who assisted in the operation, later recalled that Dunch seemed oblivious to the considerable bleeding. Hoyle became so disturbed by his actions that at one point he physically had to restrain him. He later told him to his face that he was dangerous. His behavior led Hoyle to wonder of his sanity. And that is a roller coaster.
Like, at that point...
What do you think about that?
How has he not been, like...
I'm sorry, the way I read that so robotically, like, I sound so fucking stoned. I'm like...
Like, I don't understand how he hasn't been sued or fired or, like...
Or how he was able to have to be physically restrained by another doctor just because he wouldn't stop doing what he was doing.
Because and he then was making him bleed out, like that what the wasn't fuck?
That didn't get him fired and get his license taken away, like huh?
Like how fuck? I guess
I'm horrified.
I just don't understand how that slips through the cracks, you know? Like, what the fuck?
I know it's pretty fucked, isn't it? How do you lose hardware in people's bodies? He lost things in people's bodies.
One mistake during a surgery is bad. Yeah. It's already not good. You're already supposed to have the level of expertise. You're already supposed to
not make a mess.
Not make that, you know, mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a rare statistic for a reason, you know? Doctors have that residency where they spend a long time perfecting their expertise. But it's like, when you let someone like this slip through the cracks, it's like, I don't know. That's fucking insane. It's pretty wild. It's like making one mistake is already bad. Making 3-4 mistakes in one surgery should cost you your entire career. I mean, given context, obviously.
Yeah.
And especially a multiple offender already.
Yeah, that's like, the thing.
Someone should have looked at his record, been like, "Oh, he only did." Dude, you're only
just gonna get more and more angry this whole time. I'm telling
you. It's like, "Oh, he's only done 200 surgeries. Let's get him out of the hospital and back into training." Mm-hmm. Boom, decision done. Like,
well, I don't think it would be that simple. They'd have to get his license revoked.
Well, yeah,
but that should be easy.
Yeah, you just say, "Get out of the fucking hospital. You can't be doing surgeries. What the fuck? You're killing people." Like,
yeah,
I guess like. Based on the track record of places like Kaiser and stuff, like, it doesn't, people don't really care, I guess, about.
And this is all not that long ago.
Right, this was in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Like, since I've been alive, this is, it could have been me, you know?
You're gonna get so much more mad. You're just gonna get so mad, okay. So, the next bullet point. Okay, so the owner of a pool service company, he was left with bone fragments in his spinal canal after Dr. Death tried to pull a damaged disc out of his back with a grabbing tool. He initially refused to give him any pain medication, claiming that he was just a drug seeker, but he eventually lost most of the function of his left side and required a wheelchair. Kirby assisted with the surgery and recalled that Dunch continued making mistake even after the correct anatomy was pointed out to him. The patient later recalled that he walked out on a follow-up visit with Dunch when he displayed clear signs of being inebriated at the appointment.
Like, I...
And he still worked there after that.
How? Like, just how?
Wow. The next patient is a longtime friend of his.
Yikes.
Yeah. His longtime friend, Jerry Summers, went to him to have 2 neck vertebrae fused. So this is on his own friend. So after he botched the removal of the disc, his friend was then rendered a quadriplegic.
Quadriplegic.
Yes. Dunge performed a second surgery and packed the space with a large amount of gel foam. The anesthesiologist who worked on the surgery recalled that Summers lost almost 1,200 milliliters of blood, more than a fifth of his blood volume, and almost 20 times the typical amount of blood lost in spinal fusion. The nurses and other staffers who took part in the surgery fully expected Summers to have revision surgery, but Dunch refused to do it. Summers later stated that he and Dunch had used cocaine the night before his surgery. He did cocaine with his patient the night before the surgery!
So, how much of this do you think is on purpose?
We'll get to it. We will.
It has to be.
We will kiss on that subject. Right.
Like, there's just no way that it's not,
like, intentful. He did coke with his friend before the surgery. So his friend's fucking dumb. Coke with your doctor, also, you know,
for one. But for also, two.
Then he, like, purposely made his friend quadriplegic. Thank you. Despite passing a drug test, Baylor Plano officials were concerned enough to force Dunch on leave pending a peer review. So he's finally something. But while Dunch was cleared to resume operating while the review was underway.
What? Why?
But he had to limit himself to only minor surgeries. So the patient then said that the cocaine claim was untrue. And he was upset that his friend refused to check on him. So he accused him of doing coke? Okay, what? He never recovered,
I would sue the living fucking shit out of you.
Yeah.
If you were my friend and you made me a quadriplegic and then nearly, like...
So he finally kills somebody, so the hospital does something.
Right. So. This is just as much on Bayer Plano as it is on fucking Dr.
That's Death. Actually something his defense used to defend him, actually.
Yikes.
So, Kelly Martin suffered from a major arterial injury during a routine back operation. Dunch continued operating despite clear signs that she was losing massive amounts of blood. He refused to abort the surgery, even after a trauma surgeon colleague and an anesthesiologist warned him about the blood loss. He refused to acknowledge anything was wrong, hindering the ICU's team efforts to save her. When Martin awoke from anesthesia, she was screaming and clawing at her legs, forcing the ICU team to reanesthetize her. Dunch also stayed out in the ICU waiting room writing notes rather than attending to his patient. Even after Martin went into hemorrhagic cardiac arrest, which ultimately bled to death. I feel like he hasn't been labeled a serial killer. But I kind of feel like he should be.
Like, yeah.
Like, how is he not considered a serial killer? You know? So,
he fucks up all these big old surgeries, right? Spinal fusions, disc removals.
Like, he looks like stuff. He's just doing whatever he wants.
Sure. And he gets put on leave, and he has to do minor surgeries only. So someone comes in for a routine surgery, and he manages to fuck it up that bad. That tells me that it has to be purposeful. Like, he has to be intently trying to sabotage, writing ruin
some
people's...
on some pieces of paper while his patient was bleeding to death. Like,
he's torturing people.
He's a serial killer.
That's what it is.
I think, like, that's like what
the first few people he maimed them. What he did was just, you know, made them disabled.
Yeah.
He maimed them, and then now he's it's just crazy. Killing people.
Yeah, like, I literally, like, I it's, swear, it's he intent. Should be, he should it's be considered a serial killer. It's full intent. So.
Has to be.
The hospital tried to fire him, so he quit. But then, this is kind of complicated. So the hospital tried to fire him, but then he quit before they could fire him. But they were like, no, we're going to consider it fired.
Yeah.
And so he said, well, if you fire me, I'm going to sue you for wrongful termination. And they were worried that they would lose and that it would be expensive. So they said, fine, we'll let you quit. And he was like, and you have to issue a letter saying that you didn't have any problems with me and I did nothing wrong. And they were like, okay, we'll do that for you.
Yep, they're just as much
at fault. Then, yes, so then... Because he wasn't fired, the hospital legally didn't have to report his malpractice, and so they didn't. And so it was just like we left on amicable people. Terms. Isn't what that crazy? Fuck? I know. Yeah. So he moves on to another place called Dallas Medical Center.
So, okay. But the families of these people... Are they not going after the hospitals, the doctors? Isn't that, like, do people just not do that?
No, they will. People will try to come after him. Yeah, but it's
been, like, six people.
Yeah.
And nobody's been, like...
Well, you know, I don't think people knew, too. Like, the families may not have known what happened. They probably knew something was wrong and couldn't get information.
I mean, based on the fact that the hospital was, like, oh, yeah, this doctor didn't do anything wrong after he killed someone and paralyzed people and, you know, did all this stuff on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's just...
Mm. Yeah. Yes, messed up. So, he moved on to Dallas Medical Center, where thankfully he only lasted a week. Nurses have said that they thought that he was on drugs while he was there. He wore the same dirty scrubs 3 days in a row. He maimed one patient and killed another. And the hospital didn't report him.
In a week?
Yeah. That was 1 week. He only lasted a week. And this is what happened in that 1 week. So, thank you, whoever wrote with this Wikipedia article. Oh, my God. So, Dunch had severed the patient's vertebral artery and then refused to abort despite the massive blood loss. He then packed it with too much of a substance intended to stop the bleeding. She suffered a stroke as a result. He did not respond to messages from the hospital for a few hours and then the next day scheduled an elective surgery on her rather than care for Brown. Hospital officials were exasperated when Dench refused to delay Efford's surgery and asked him multiple times to care for Brown or to transfer her out of his care. He suggested drilling a hole in Brown's head to relieve the pressure, but with refused permission, thank God. Not only was he not qualified for and held no privileges to perform brain surgery, but Dallas Medical did not have the proper equipment or personnel for such an operation. Brown, the first patient, was left in a coma for hours before Dench finally till he finally allowed them to transfer her out of his care. But by that time, she was already brain dead. Like, what? It's insane. So now, this other patient involved. So while operating on that patient, Efford, Dunge severed one of her nerve roots during spinal fusion surgery while operating on the wrong part of her back. He twisted a screw into another nerve, left screw holes on the opposite side of her spine, failed to remove the disc that he was supposed to be removing, and left surgical hardware in her muscle tissue so loose that it moved when touched. Despite several warnings from his colleagues that he wasn't doing the surgery correctly and was attempting to put screws into muscle rather than bone, Dunge persisted. Efford was left paralyzed. She later recalled waking up feeling excruciating pain, a 10 plus on the scale of 1 to 10. Several people who were in the operating room for the surgery suspected that Dunch might have been intoxicated, recalling that his pupils were dilated. Longtime spine surgeon Robert Henderson performed the salvage surgery. When he saw the imaging from Dunch's surgery, he was certain that there would be legal action and had this salvage surgery recorded. He likened that what he found when he opened Efford up to the results of a child playing with Tinker toys or an Erector set. Henderson described Dunch's surgery as an assault and concluded that Efford would have been bedridden had the salvage surgery not been performed. My God, I'm horrified. This is crazy!
That's literally insane.
And then he gets fired and just goes somewhere else.
And those are both in Texas, so...
And all these doctors are like, oh my God!
Like, if I were in that surgery room and it got to that point, like, I would just fucking knock him out.
Well, someone did. Remember, they physically restrained him. Yeah. And still, the hospital did nothing. Like, it's crazy. And these doctors that we're covering, pretty much the doctors that are getting involved, they come back later when it comes to getting him on this. They don't do nothing.
I figure as much, but it's like...
Like, they don't do nothing, but they...
I would just, like, go to the fucking... I would knock him out. Yeah. And I would go to the man... I would go to the higher-ups, and I'd be like...
But
he just killed somebody. He killed the last person. He's maimed, like...
They don't care. The hospital's not doing anything.
Then I would be like, I'm going to sue the fuck out of you for negligence.
Right. And, you know,
threaten them, and then they'll finally take action.
I do think the reason some of the other surgeons can't get involved is because if they do anything, it can be blamed on them, and they can probably lose their license and shit, you know? Like, it's just so crazy. So... After that, he moved to Southampton Community Hospital and Legacy Surgery Center, two different places. So he was working at two different places. And we're just going to take a little walk through what he did there. And this is the last place. This is what finally, eventually kind of... Well, not really, honestly. So this is what he did. So he damaged someone's spine and they lost feeling in the right side of their body. He drilled into someone else's spine and left them partially paralyzed from the neck down. And then while attempting to remove degenerated discs in someone's back. He left surgical hardware floating between the spine and muscle tissue. When the patient woke up in considerable pain, but Dunch convinced him that that was normal and prescribed him so much Percocet that the pharmacist refused to fill the prescription. The patient then spiraled into opioid addiction that ended up costing him his life and his job. And then he operated on this other patient named Jacqueline Troy. He cut one of her vocal cords and an artery, as well as damaged her trachea. Troy was left barely able to speak above a whisper and had to be sedated for weeks and had to be fed through a feeding tube for some time as food was getting in her lungs. Yeah. Jesus. And there's more. There's more. A severely maimed Jeff Gildwell, after mistaking part of his neck muscle for a tumor during a routine cervical fusion, severing one of his vocal cords, and cutting a hole in his esophagus and slicing an artery. Dunch stuffed a surgical sponge in Gildwell's throat to staunch the bleeding. However, he closed him up with the sponge still inside, despite others in the operating room warning him about it. The sponge then triggered a severe bloodborne infection that caused him to become septic. When other doctors discovered the sponge, Dunch then refused to help them remove it. After several days, the patient was brought in. No, wait. Sorry. After several days, Kirby, which was the surgeon, the other guy, he was brought in to repair the damage and described what he found as the work of a crazed maniac. He later told Gildwell that it was clear that Dunch had tried to kill him. Gildwell was left with only one vocal cord, permanent damage to his esophagus, and partial paralysis on his left side. The other surgeon, Kirby, claimed that it looked as if Dunch had tried to decapitate Gildwell.
Oh my god.
So, the hospitals don't give two shits. So this doctor, Kirby, was like, someone has to do something about this. So he actually wrote a complaint to the medical board himself, where he called Dunch a sociopath who was a clear and present danger to the citizens of Texas. And it took heavy lobbying from Kirby and Henderson to convince the medical board to suspend his license. And they suspended his license in 2013.
He did that for 20 years?
No, 3 years. 2010, he graduated.
You said 1995? Oh, that's when you left football.
Yeah. And then he moved to Denver, Colorado, and eventually got arrested for a DUI and shoplifting. He, like, declared bankruptcy for, like, $1 million in debt. Some patients tried to sue that first hospital, Baylor Plano, and they also tried to attempt the district attorney in Dallas to press charges, but it didn't go anywhere until in 2015, literally, like, right before the statute of limitations was about to run out, so they didn't have much time to work. But the police found they recovered an email that Dunch had sent in 2011 where they say boasted. So what he said, this is the quote, "Ready to leave the love and kindness and goodness and patience that I mix with everything else that I am and become a cold-blooded killer." Which is pretty much a serial killer confession, in my opinion. Yeah. Now when you look back, he's like, you're like, oh my god, yeah, he did do all of that on purpose. He was just a fucking serial killer. Okay, so a year and a half after his license was revoked, it was July 2015, he was arrested finally in Dallas and charged with 6 felony counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, 5 counts of aggravated assault causing serious bodily injury, and 1 count of injury to an elderly person. The indictments were made 4 months before the statute of limitations Jeez. Ran out.
Thank God.
I know.
He got life in prison?
So, his lawyer said that he wasn't guilty because he had a lack of training and the hospitals lacked oversight. So he pretty much said he's not guilty. The hospital is guilty because they let him do it.
No, he's still guilty because he did it.
Yeah. So on February 20th, 2017, he was sentenced to life in prison.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So, how are we feeling about that?
It's just...
How is it... How did this happen?
When serial killers go a long time without being caught, it's always because they can't figure out who's doing it. But when you're a professional, apparently, all you need to do...
Everyone knows who it is. They just can't do anything about it. It's like everyone knows who it is.
They just don't care enough. Because they're doing it in a medical setting. Where there's just too much leeway, I guess.
There's just laws.
If I'm even close to that bad at my job, I would get fired. I just wouldn't be there anymore. Like, it would take so quick. And I cook for a living. I don't cut people open and fucking try to repair them. Like, that's not... it's insane.
It's so crazy. It's so fucked up. It's so scary. It's so scary to think about. There's a podcast I really want to listen to. I can't remember the name of it. It's all about medical. It's about essentially these types of cases. I'm so scared to listen to it.
Did you ever watch The Bleeding Edge on Netflix?
No.
You need to watch
it. I know. You need to watch
it. That one's really good.
I will.
That's fucking insane, though. Holy shit.
It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy.
It's like it's so clear that he really was doing it intentionally. Mm-hmm. You know, like he definitely expressed his way through the training. People. He definitely he just wanted to kill people and get away with it.
And I feel like so many people were involved in letting him get away with it.
Mm-hmm. It.
I just was horrified.
Shows the negligence that happens in. A lot of medical... I mean, we've seen it firsthand of people just not giving a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's very clear that they should.
Yeah.
You see so much misdiagnosis. You see so many... I mean, thankfully, surgery fuck-ups are a lot less common.
I did see a quote. I didn't write it down, but someone had said that... Like, when they were trying to charge him... It was essentially like people are making a really big deal about it, but it happens all the time. You know, like, that the neurosurgeons, these surgeons, they're not as good as you think they are, is kind of the vibe. It was like, you know, they're like, you don't know how often, like, everyone's in there screwing everything up. And it was a very stressful quote.
I guess I did see some interesting stuff when I watched The Bleeding Edge about how, remember all those vaginal mesh surgeries?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no matter what, those surgeries just, like, so many of them got fucked up. Of people just not doing it correctly, not caring, not having the proper training, like, so many different things because, I don't know, it's just, yeah, there's a lot of holes in the medical system.
Yeah.
And a lot of scary cracks in the system. It's not great.
It's terrifying.
I mean, I've seen it firsthand with you, with me, my sister, it's just...
I have one more thing I wanted to add.
Yeah.
This came up on Two Girls, One Ghost, and I was like, no way, so I just wanted to look it up a little bit. What do you know about coroners? Like, what's coroner? What do they do?
Well, I know they effectively go to crime scenes, and I think what they do is establish time of death. They establish how they died, at least to a general, consensus, and then takes the body to the mortician, or not the mortician, but the either investigative office or mortuary, wherever you need to go. That's my impression of how they work.
Mm-hmm. Well, all those autopsies that they get to sign off on are done by medical examiners with degrees and board certifications. Most are done by the coroners.
Most autopsies?
done by the coroners themselves, mm-hmm. who don't need any training and are just a publicly elected official.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of places where they can just elect the coroner. So you could elect anybody the same way you could elect anybody for anything. And there's only 4 states that require coroners to be physicians, which is Kansas, Louisiana, Minnesota, and Ohio. Anywhere else, they can be anybody. And then there's only 10 states that even specify training requirements for having that role.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Yeah. And then when it comes to smaller towns, the sheriff of the town tends to be the coroner. Right. They tend to be the same position.
Yeah, but they're not doing the autopsy in smaller towns.
But that's troublesome.
That is troublesome.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be allowed to do the autopsy if they don't have the medical background. Like,
and then
where are they getting access to all those tools? Like, what's, like, what?
Yeah. No,
just, how do they know how to do it? Like,
That's the thing, is they don't know. And so, in Georgia, if they have a law that if there's a town of 5,000 residents or fewer, the mayor is authorized to serve as the coroner, and vice versa.
Wait, vice versa?
Yeah, so the coroner can act as the mayor acts as the coroner. Essentially, the mayor is the coroner. If there's a town of 5,000, the freaking mayor gets to decide how people die. That's like what to write on their certificate and stuff.
Really interesting.
Isn't it?
That doesn't make any sense.
I know. And then many county coroners in the state are funeral home directors, and the position often allows morticians a first crack at selling funeral services to families. Pastors, handymen, and plumbers have also been elected to the position in the past. Like, literally just anyone could just be the coroner.
That's terrifying.
I know. Isn't it? So, I got this quote from The Guardian. In 2017, 2 medical examiners employed by San Joaquin County in California resigned because they said that the sheriff/coroner Steve Moore pressured them to change their autopsy results for the deaths in police custody. And because he was the coroner, he was like, I'm not going to sign it unless you put this.
Right. Yikes.
So, yeah. Yikes. And
I feel like I heard about that, actually, in San Joaquin County.
He might have.
I think I did hear about that.
And then this problem kind of became a little more known because it was a little bit involved in the George Floyd case. Because,
It said
Hennepin County Medical Examiner's autopsy listed the cause of death as cardiopulmonary arrest complicating law enforcement subdual restraint and neck compression.
Yeah.
And so a medical examiner, Dr. Roger Mitchell, said cardiopulmonary arrest just means death. It means his heart stopped beating. That's a very technical way of saying it, due to neck compression. So they said that they essentially said that he was killed because his heart stopped because of the neck compression, not because the police compressed his neck. Like, what? Like, they just worded it really tricky and thought people wouldn't notice.
He died because he died.
That's what that's really what they tried to pass.
Don't ask me any questions. Like, that's
Isn't that crazy? So those are the few quotes I pulled that I wanted to share about coroners that I found. Damn. Some little fun facts.
That's insane.
It's so horrifying.
I hope I don't die in a mysterious way, because then they'll never figure it out.
I know, honestly.
Fucking some random ass plumber is doing my autopsy. I'm like, well, I don't know.
But you know how Woody and Psych?
Yeah.
And we're always... His role
makes a lot more sense now. Yeah,
We thought that was so funny, but we didn't truly understand just how funny that really is.
No way they put that level of fucking...
Who wrote that show that knew? Wanted to out coroners for what they really are.
Because he's the only one that, like... And everyone in the show questions him, too. Fucking crazy. Like, they're like, how do you have this role? Nobody, that's so insane. That's funny.
I know. I never noticed right now.
Fucking Woody. He scared the shit out of me.
He's such a good character. I know, honestly.
And he was such a good character for it.
That show was really clever. That was really well done. Okay, so I'm scared, honestly.
What? Oh, yeah.
Just honestly, that's all so stressful.
That's so terrifying.
I know.
Thankfully, the goal is to always, like, generally we're more careful about doctors. Like,
I would have thought, but I'm scared.
Well, I mean, like, for, like, you, for example, like, you knew your surgeon before you went into it, you know?
For
pretty much all of them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I did have, at that point, have a very lengthy and long relationship with the surgeon. So it's not like I just met them. They're like, this is the person that's going to cut you open, like, day of. Yeah,
and it's like, he looks like he's coked.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's...
And, like, I've had, like, one of the residents... really say, like, I really trust this person a lot, which they wouldn't say if they saw that kind of stuff. So that's true, but still it's scary.
And I saw that with my sister too. Like, she knew some of the surgeons before going into it, and other times she didn't, and those are always the scarier ones because it's like you just you don't know.
But what's crazy though is sometimes you think you know people, you know. Scary. So that's all I had to bring to the table.
That's crazy.
I'm horrified.
That really is terrifying that he did that for years and didn't get caught.
Mm-hmm.
Not didn't get caught, just didn't. Nobody, just people neglected to do anything about it. He was just chilling, killing people.
Yeah.
People were like, aw, damn.
And then when he was like,
go over there,
I kill somebody and they're coming after me? I guess I'll just move to Denver.
Right. It's like, I'll just move a little bit away.
Just move to Denver.
Well, I'm going to go back to Dallas anyway. And I'm going to, like, I just.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Also, who the fuck did he write to and say that he was going to become a killer in 2011? And they said nothing?
At the hospital.
And they said nothing?
Like, if it was used against the hospital, that had to have been directed to the hospital.
I don't know who it was directed to.
Like, what the fuck?
I don't know. His friends, I imagine them just being, I'm just imagined two, like, bonehead, like, fraternity
doing
bros.
Coke together, like... Talking about the good old days when they played football and shit.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you want to cut me open tomorrow? I got this thing in my back. And he's like, sure.
Maybe this is how rich people treat their plastic surgeons.
It's gotta be.
It's the same relationship.
I mean, you see all these famous people and they get such botched surgeries.
Yeah, and their plastic surgeons are so rich.
They know none the wiser. Because their plastic surgeon is like, they've got this weird relationship of like, I don't know.
Pepperdine's probably do snort coke with their Kardashians snort coke with their plastic surgeons. You heard it here first. Just kidding. That's not a true claim. That is completely made up. That is a falsified statement. Do not sue me.
The fact that there's an entire show based on botched surgeries.
I'm so scared of everybody.
Yeah. But the fact that there's an entire genre of show based on botched medical procedures, albeit plastic surgery, but it's still, you know, like, that's
everybody. You have to listen to the podcast you're wrong about. You will learn so much and you'll be so scared for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. That's that. I'm done. Good night.
Good night.